Hey, gang, this is Masad Ayoub. I'm here to tell you to take yourself and ideally your kids and your grandkids to an Appleseed Project shooting event. It's about history, it's about pride in your country, and not incidentally, it's about marksmanship and having a whole lot of fun. I hope to see you there.
Well, I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Our goal is to inform, update, and entertain the new shooter about the many fun and exciting aspects of sports shooting in Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. And remember what they say about opinions, everybody has one. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George Hatch and Tom Donnelly.
I like guns.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the New Shooter Canada podcast. This week is going to be a bit of a short one for us tonight. We're recording on a Monday night and I don't got much left in the tank. So got a couple, going to do our regular, what we did in guns, a couple of news things and listener email and a feedback and then kind of wrap up the show. So let's get this show on the road. And since I've got one word under what I did in guns this week, I did archery. Moving on.
my tank's pretty empty too.
I do, anyone on Facebook that has me on Facebook sees every 2 weeks the regular posting or Facebook check-in go up at the archery range with my, well, it's usually daughters, plural, but my one daughter's in France right now on a student exchange program, so it's just me and my youngest, and my oldest says, yeah, archery's cool for the first 10 minutes, then it gets boring. I'm going to go hang out with my friends, and then out the door she goes.
She's 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Explains it.
So.
Now, if there was some hot young boys in there, I'm sure her attention span would be a little bit longer.
Her her curfew was 9 o'clock, and she strolls in at 9:35, and I'm like, "You're late." She goes, "Well, I missed my bus. It comes at 9:08." I'm like, "That's, you're already 8 minutes late." I'm like, "Why are you catching the 9:08 bus? You're already 8 minutes late." "Well, it gets me here 20 after. It's only 20 minutes late." I'm like, "Oh my dear, too tired for this." So then we went on a 20-minute debate over what it means to be late.
We two quite often butt heads, do you not?
No, she's a good kid. She just, I don't know. It's, I'm a boy. She's a girl. And I don't get teenage girls, so. Anyway, so yeah, so I did archery this week, and that was it. How about you, Mr. Tom?
I didn't do any shooting. The only thing I did this week was talk about guns a bit. My friend Darlene, or Speedy D, as you people know her, she's the NFA rep for Ontario. Well, she just got her handgun license not too long ago, and she bought a Ruger Hunter, which is, I think it's a 6-inch fluted barrel. It's a nice little gun. But she's got really small hands, so we're just helping her try to find some smaller grips that'll fit her gun better. And I talked to her to maybe getting some skateboard tape, and she's probably going to order the Volks Quartz and hammer and sear and try to reduce the trigger pull on it. And I sent her a couple of the instruction videos, because if you've never taken apart a Ruger Mark II or Mark III pistol, taking it apart's not the problem. Getting it back together can be difficult if you don't know the steps.
Hey, that could be a true statement for anything. Everything disassembles very easily. It's the reassembly that's the problem.
Well, especially when you have parts left over, and then it doesn't go bang afterwards.
I put my, I had stripped my rifle down, and I can't remember why I'd stripped it down. And I put it back together, and I must have not tightened a screw, and it came out. And when I picked it up, I could hear it rattle. And my dad looked at me. And I looked at my dad, and I'm like, well, that doesn't sound good. So I just not tightened a screw. I just, I just put it on, and I don't know what I did. But yeah, it's never good when you have extra parts after reassembling a firearm. And I just wanted to step back for a quick sec. When you said a fluted barrel, what's a fluted barrel?
It's like my .22. It has, along the length of the barrel, it actually has cuts in the barrel.
Okay.
So instead of having the big bull barrel, it's got lines going through the barrel. So what that does, it does two things. Not like it's going to make a big difference in a .22. But by putting flutes, you increase the surface area. So you have more surface area to cool down faster. So it helps cooling down the gun. And also gets rid of some of the weight. Because normally it's a big fat barrel, and they just put flutes in it. So it takes down some of the weight, and it just increases the surface area. But if you've never owned a Ruger pistol, there's a trick between the Mark II and the Mark III, and Ruger has instructional videos on YouTube, so I just sent her the video so she'd be familiar with it. But with the Mark III, and it didn't include the step in my owner's manual. Apparently when Ruger's put the manuals out, when the Mark IIIs first came out, they omitted this one little step. Because it has that magazine disconnect in it, you can't lower the hammer unless there's a mag in it, so you have to pull a hammer or put the magazine in it, and you've got to dry fire it, pull the spring out, or the main spring out, then you have to take the magazine out again, because you can't lower the hammer unless you put the magazine in. And you didn't have to do that step on the Mark IIs. So I just told her that it'd be, if she took it apart, if she couldn't get back together, that'd be why.
I just, while you were talking, did a quick little Google search for a fluted barrel, because I'm much more of a visual type guy than a word person. So I'm going to throw in the show notes a picture of a fluted barrel.
We shot my AR. It had a fluted barrel. And my .22 has a fluted barrel. It looks cool, too. But
yeah,
it really looks
like there's ridges.
Yeah, there's lines
out of the barrel. Yeah.
There's physical lines taking out of the barrel.
Yeah.
But it, as I said, it doesn't make a big difference on, say, a rim fire unless you're shooting thousands of rounds. But on a high-powered rifle such as the AR, you put 30, 40 rounds fast through that AR and you touch that barrel, it's going to burn your fingers. So you start doing long strings of fire, your point of impact could wander a little bit. So by putting the flutes in it, you're just increasing the surface area, so it can actually more surface area to cool down,
mm-hmm.
theoretically.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I remember when I was still fairly new. I still am pretty new. But when I'd hear guys talking on podcasts, they'd just, like, barrel right through that, like, flute barrel thing, and then be like, oh, what the heck are they talking about? That's why I stopped, because when you said it, I had an idea of what you were talking about, but I wasn't 100% sure, so.
Well, they look really cool. A friend of mine, John down the street, he picked up the Savage, the Mark II. It's a 17 HMR, but it's got a spiral barrel, so the barrel itself has got a bit of a curve to it, and then his flutes are spirally flutes going down the course of the barrel.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at the images, and there's one of those on the images that came up as well.
It looks really cool. So you'll get the bull barrel. You'll get the extra. Usually a bull barrel's on. It's like 920, so it's almost an inch. So you get the bigger barrel, but then you actually get more surface area too. So not like the 17s can heat up a lot either, but it looks awfully cool.
Yeah, I just typed in fluted barrel into, I think this is Bing, and a whole bunch of different barrels popped up. And there's an AR barrel that has that twisted one, spiral flute. That's cool.
So if you buy a Ruger Mark III and it's used, and it's a couple years old, the manual might actually skip the step about reinserting the magazine in order to lower the hammer, so you can get the strut down. But if you just go on the Ruger's website, they have a couple instructional videos. So if you take your Ruger pistol apart, you can just hit the Ruger site, and they'll give you really precise instructions how to reassemble your gun. Just when you're telling, when you went shooting with your dad and your gun was rattling, like, I can take apart my Rugers, I can take apart my 1911s. I had a Smith & Wesson Model 59, which is an old double-stack 9mm. And I figured, oh, no problem, I can take the Rugers apart, I can take this one apart, I can take the Smith & Wesson apart. I couldn't get it back together. I took it to the gunsmith in a bag.
Oh, no.
Keith, can you put this back together for me? And he looked at it, he started laughing. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, if I put it back together and it works, $25. Because if it doesn't work, you're on your own.
Here's your bag.
So I gave him the bag, and he did it in front of me. And I paid him $25 because it went bang afterwards. So. But it had so many different, because of the double action mechanism, and it had so many springs, and one spring had to be resting on a certain post this way, and I didn't have the manual. Since then, I went out and I've got an exploded drawing of all the guns. But if you take a gun apart and you don't have a manual to show how it goes back together, it can be a little confusing. So, well, I'm not the only person that's taken a gun apart and then had to go back to the gunsmith again to put it back together for them. It happens. It happens.
Fortunately, touch wood. I got no wood near me. There it is. Haven't had that problem yet. I have the utmost confidence that I will someday, but not just yet.
Well, you shouldn't disassemble a mechanism if you're not familiar with it, nor if you have a manual with an exploded drawing to put it back together. So before I take anything apart, I check my book to make sure I've got an exploded manual, which means I got to get one for the Grand Power. That's the only one I don't have. My book's about 8 or 9 years old and doesn't have any of the newer models in it. But David showed me how to take the Grand Power apart, so there shouldn't be any problems. So that's it for guns with me this week.
I just take stuff. I almost swore. Oops. I just take stuff apart and hope for the best. I shouldn't admit that on the podcast, but
I'm usually really specific. If I take it apart, I put everything, and especially little pins or springs. I always have a little container.
You know what? On this just popped in my head. The last Slamfire. They had somebody email in asking about whether to buy their first AR or to build it, and the boys were kind of discussing it. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it kind of falls into what I was just saying. I had that same decision, where do I buy my first AR or do I build it? And because the whole concept of an AR just completely escapes my comprehension level, like I just... When people start talking about the different components of ARs, it just all went over my head. I had no clue what they were talking about. And that was the main reason why I decided to build it. Because then I would know from the ground up, I would know my gun, I would know all the parts to the gun, I would know every single little detail about that gun. And I'd have full understanding on how to operate it, how to strip it, how it functions, and everything. And that was the main factor into why I decided to build my first instead of buying one.
Well, I think the point that they're making is that cost-wise, it's actually cheaper if you wanted an AR right now to go out and get a complete unit. But the cost isn't your motivation right now. You can't afford the whole gun right now, so you're just buying the pieces as you can afford the pieces. Because if you went out and bought all the pieces at once and made your own AR, then it's going to cost you more money than going out and buying a completed AR that's already done. But you're building yours over a year. Like you don't have the funds to buy all the parts at once. You're just getting what part you need one at a time. So in your case, I think it's a great idea because you're getting to learn it piece by piece, and it may be another year before you even finish the gun. So
yeah. Yeah, well, the financial part of it was less of a factor. Like, I knew, because that was the first thing that everyone was saying. I think you said, too, it's like, you know, it's cheaper just to buy it. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to buy it. I want to piecemeal it together, and, you know, I want to have that experience of actually building it instead of just going out and buying one.
And you're not in a rush, either. Like, you're not competing. You're not doing IPSC or anything. So it's not a priority. You'll get it when you get it.
There's, like, 3 feet of snow outside. Like... Man, I ain't doing a whole lot of shooting lately, so it's been like minus. Hey, I want to give a shout out to I think it was Brian that went for the Rifleman's the Squirrel Challenge. I think it was like minus, what was it? He posted up I think the temperature out, but it was like minus 25 or.
It was cold. It was cold
when he did the challenge. So hats off to Brian. I love shooting in the wintertime because generally the range is quiet and you basically have the range to yourself, but yeah, it's been too cold for me. There's other things I've found to fill my days with than shooting in the freezing cold, but
I don't mind shooting in the cold. I'm not into shooting when it's minus 25. I did that for years. I'm too old. I'm not doing it nowadays. Forget it.
Yeah, you know what? Sunday, which is, I think, the 28th, is it's supposed to be like, well, it changes from day to day, but it's going to be floating around zero. So I'm hoping to sneak out and get my target in just under the wire, so that'd be pretty cool.
Well, it's not really the cold that's bothering me these days. It's the wind. The winds have been so strong. Like, I want to sight in that Marlin 22 Magnum, and it's just been too windy.
Well, and that's my thing, is I got to sight in my rifle because, you know, we all know about George and his scope, so... I got
I'm not saying a word. I've got two I got to sight in also, so but they're all Loctited and balanced and leveled and everything already.
Well, my dad bought like Loctite, but I don't know where it is, and they're in the last email I got, they were in northern Utah working their way back, so I don't know. Hopefully I can Skype with them this week and find out where the Loctite is, and I'll get out this week and do my challenge shoot and get that scope sighted in.
Just make sure it's the blue Loctite, not the red.
Yes, blue, not red.
Yeah, red's not good. Well, unless you want it permanently attached, then you'll be taking a blowtorch to get it off. I've seen it happen.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's, yeah. Well, so much for graceful segues. We're not the show for that. So.
You do anything gracefully?
No. So I saw, and this is probably getting a little dated now that it came across my Facebook feed. This is from the Edmonton Sun.
Well, so now we're doing guns in the news?
Yeah, we're moving on to the news.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, let's move
next
on.
Segue.
Let's move on to the news. So this is from the Edmonton Sun. St. Albert Mounties are calling for tips after an arsenal of firearms was stolen from a home. Someone broke in to the Heritage Lakes area, St. Albert, home February 4th, and stole a gun safe containing an arsenal of 8 handguns and 2 rifles.
Since when's that an arsenal?
An arsenal.
An arsenal.
You know, that's this. The wording is kind of liberal BS I'd expect from, like, the Star or something, not from Sun News or Edmonton Sun. Same thing, whatever. Anyways, they broke a window near the front door. The thief was driving, at least he's got good taste in trucks, a black Ford pickup truck with silver on the bottom half. The truck was either a Ford F-150 or a 250. Description of the suspect is a white male, early 50s, heavier set with a ball cap, chubbier, acne-scarred face. It's kind of a bizarre description. Long grayish brown hair, wearing a dark jacket, blah, 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 blah. Please say anyone with information on the theft, call Albert RCMP, and it gives the phone number, 780-458-7700. Links in the show notes. I just thought it was kind of, before we were recording, I was sitting here thinking, you know, for everyone listening, 8 handguns and 2 rifles, like, that's nothing. Like, pretty much everyone I know has got like 8 or more guns, whether it's a mixture of handguns and rifles and such. So 10 guns, it's hardly even worth mentioning. But I got thinking about it. Before I got into guns and I heard this news story and somebody had said 8 handguns and 2 rifles, what would have my reaction have been? And so because I'm obviously biased now, I got thinking about, well, what other sports would they have a lot of something that I would go, wow, that's an arsenal. And so I got kind of thinking of like fishing. There was a news story about some guy and he had like his fishing gear stolen and, you know, they list off 10 rods.
So it's an arsenal of rods?
So I kind of got thinking of it. I'm like, yeah, I'd probably react going, wow, that's a lot of fishing rods. But that'd be the extent of it. Be like, that's a bunch of rods. That's a lot more rods than I have. But to go so far as an arsenal.
Well, that might have been the RCMP's description. It might not have been the reporter's description. But the other thing I noticed, a safe can be, so he took the whole safe.
Yeah, they loaded the whole safe. Now, again, is it a safe or is it one of those metal cabinets from Canadian Tire, right?
Oh, it's probably one of the cabinets in Canadian Tire.
Yeah. But it's, We know technically it's a safe, right? So that's just what I'd say. We just went through this bunch of episodes. I think it was around Christmas time when we covered this off, because there was a question on what exactly is a safe and not a safe. And so, yeah, who knows? And it's not quite clear. It's just a short little one paragraph news story. I saw it on Facebook, so I thought I'd copy and paste it and just read it off in the show. It kind of made me giggle. The arsenal of firearms. I was like, arsenal, right on. And then I got to like 8 handguns and 2 rifles. So I'm like, wow, that's highly unimpressive.
Well, that's why I usually tell people, if you're going to get a cabinet or a safe, put it down in the basement, bolt it to the floor and the wall. Because we mentioned this before, a friend of mine, I won't say his name, but he had a full-size safe, the size of mine. And my safe's 600 pounds, 700 pounds, but he had it on the main floor. And they came in with a lift truck and a pump truck, because his dad was in a wheelchair, so he had a ramp going to the front door. And they came in with a chainsaw, because he just had it bolted to the floor or to the wall. They just cut the whole frickin' wall, threw the safe on the pump truck. We're talking a 600-pound safe, and rolled it out to the house into the back of the lift truck and gone.
Lift truck or pump truck?
Well, they had a cube van with a lift gate on it.
Oh, right.
And they brought in a hand cart into the house. So they just cut the chainsaw and just pushed the safe onto the lift cart, pulled it out, rolled the lift cart in the back of the lift gate, and they're in and out of the house in 5 minutes. Yeah, they did this at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. So, yeah, so I just thought there's a link in the show notes if anyone is in the St. Albert area. I don't even know where that is. St. Albert, it's in the Edmonton Sun, so I'm assuming it's somewhere near Edmonton.
It's probably near Canmore.
So,
I'm Mike from Canmore.
All right, so I will let you take the next one, since it's your little baby here, and please be gentle.
Well, we're not going to read the whole thing. We talked a couple weeks ago about the problem that Dave Young was having with the Quebec CFO. So Dave posted a letter that he wrote to the safety minister on Facebook. I'm not going to read the whole letter because it is very long and involved, and it would take up a half hour just reading the letter. But there was a couple of points in this letter that I thought, what he should do. His website is caps/training.com. So you can go onto Dave's website.
Actually, it's a dash, not a slash.
Dash, slash. Okay, either or. It doesn't matter.
Tell you what, how about we do this?
Okay.
How about I put a link in the show notes while you are chatting?
Hey, just turned pink. That's a good idea. But if you want to read Dave's entire letter, you can go onto his Facebook page, or it should be on the CAPS page. But I did write him and ask him permission to read his letter. But George said he wanted to do a short show tonight because he's tired and he worked all day. So there's one point in his letter that really, really bothered me. I'll just read through this, that on February 3rd of this year, during his renewal process for his current business license, he met with the representatives of the CFO, met with me to discuss our training program that I offer civilians. The CFO explained to me that self-defense was not an approved purpose for a civilian owning a firearm, and such training in defensive use of firearms is not approved on any range under their control. They went on to say that they would impose sanction on any club that allowed my courses to be held, and that the paper screen on which we projected our training scenarios was not approved target for the Quebec, and therefore forbidden. They actually have training simulators that they use for law enforcement and for armed guards, and the CFO does not like their training thing. The CFO also said, they explained that they were going to inform our insurer of any potential injury that occurred during our training should not be covered as occurred during a non-unapproved suspect activity. They also stated that teaching use of force without actually being a lawyer could result in charges. This, in spite of the fact that the same training program has been authorized by them and has been taught by Dave since 1999, and this program has led directly to the issuances of hundreds of ATCs for armed personnel through the Quebec CFO. And they also said they made a point of explaining to me that they would prosecute any person who removes a restricted weapon from storage to defend themselves regardless of the circumstances. It is the CFO's position that doing so requires an ATC, even if this occurs in the residence where the firearm is registered. So he actually produced a letter that he had written to him by Kim Campbell, then Minister of Justice, and the original author, Kim Campbell, was one of the original authors of the storage regulations. And in the book it says, necessary and reasonable and necessary defensive firearm ownership use in Canada. And it states, where deadly force is used lawfully, as provided in Force Section 34, the justification of that section would extend to the offense of having a loaded firearm in a place where discharge is not permitted. So it says that you can legally defend yourself with the firearm. And the CFO representative explained to them that they don't see it that way, and the point of view of the author of the legislation, and therefore Parliament, is irrelevant. So that's the kind of dealings that poor Davis had to go through with the CFO. There's other instances too. There was one where they removed, on his business license, they removed non-restricted firearms. They allowed him prohibited, restricted, but they took non-restricted firearms out because there was an armored car company that was also, they had sidearms as well as non-restricted shotguns. And the CFO didn't want this, the armored car company having non-restricted shotguns. So they removed non-restricted firearms from Dave's business permit so this armored car company couldn't train. Well, armored company showed up anyway, and they just used their own shotguns, not any of Dave's guns. So that's when we were talking the last episode. If you think we have it bad in Ontario, our brothers and sisters in Quebec have it even worse. So I would go on to Dave's website. What he's done now, if you go on, the letter explains what he's done. He's given up his business license. So the CFO no longer has any control over him. And he does all his training now with the companies at their locations with their firearms. So now the CFO has no jurisdiction over anything he does because he's not using any of his guns. He gets called in, takes his training equipment out there, and he has no firearms involved. Therefore, they can't regulate him at all. But I just got so mad when I saw that little thing about that they're going to charge anybody who defends themselves with a firearm. It's just ridiculous. Okay, that's my rant for today, George.
That wasn't too bad. I was cringing. I was talking to Wanda. I'm like, oh, he's got a rant. It's locked and loaded, and it's just, and I don't want to be editing it.
I put the whole letter in just to get it in there for now, and I was going to play with it later, and I did. I shortened it down today. I just wanted a few points.
I'd be scrolling on my phone. I'm like, oh my God, this letter just never ends. It never ends. It never ends.
Well, I've heard of the stuff that, you know, Jazz has told me, but what they have to go through when they're shooting IPSC, but I wasn't sure what the businesses have to go through. There's other issues too. He's licensed for prohibited. They can sell prohibited to law enforcement, but they decided, oh no, well, we won't let you train with prohibited anymore. Even though it's, the legislation says you can, the CFO says, no, we're not letting you use those anymore. But if you go on to his website and just check out the extent of the full letter, it'll give you a much more clear idea of what's going on. And in Dave's words, not my words.
But I was just thinking, fingers crossed that Harper can get in again and get another majority, at least one more majority. Because if he can get in and get another majority, then all these shenanigans are really going to be working in our favor. Because look at the new legislation that's coming out. A lot of that is in response to the BS that's going on that the CFOs are pulling, right?
Yeah.
You know, incorporating the ATTs into your restricted license. Well, duh. Like, that just goes without saying. But a lot of that is fueled because of just the arcane CFOs. Like, so, you know, again, it's all a political game, right? Fingers crossed. Hopefully Harper can get in for another majority. It gives us 5 years. And, you know, maybe we can get one or two more pieces of legislation to kind of clean this up a bit.
It would be nice. I know the NFA has been very active in Quebec, so hopefully they can help step on a few toes and get things moving for our friends in Quebec as well, too.
Yeah, and every time a CFO pulls a bonehead move like this, it gives us more ammunition to go to the politicians and say, see, it's broken. What part of broken do you not understand? We need it fixed. So,
well, that's the problem, is that they have that little insert that more or less gives the CFO a mandate. And the problem is, well, apparently there's going to be a civilian committee oversight, right now, if the CFO does something, you have no choice but to take them to court. There's no way to challenge any decision the CFO makes.
You know what? These civilian oversight committees are more detrimental. This thing is going to be a nightmare for us. For the simple reason is, yeah, it all looks good right now, but what happens is when the Liberals and the NDP get in power, they're going to stack that thing full of the most vicious anti-gunners.
And then they're gonna
be standing going, oh, no, look, we have an independent committee. It's not us. It's this independent committee. And you'll have what? One CSSA voice, one NFA voice, and maybe, I don't know, the Ontario Hunters Federal or blah, 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 blah. Easy for me to say, right? So you may have, you know, a hunting conservation voice, two, shooting voices, and they're going to be drowned out by the hysterical anti-gunners. These stupid committees are the worst things for anyone because they're not voted on. They're not accountable to anybody except for the people that put them there.
Well, that's the problem with the CFO, too. It's an appointed position. The Attorney General appoints a CFO, but so they appoint a police officer. So if you complain to the Attorney General's office, they're saying, well, you have to complain to the Police Services Board. You complain to the Police Services Board, they say, well, you have to complain to the Attorney General's office.
Yeah.
And there's no way to challenge it. At least, well, when I got turned down for my ATT last year to go to the charity shoot, his first thing was, you know, take us to court, but if you're going to take us to court, use the Barry Court because they have the best soup.
Yeah.
You know, even before they had it all. No, we're not going to give it to them because they know that 99% of the time people aren't going to take it to court because of the costs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just – so, you know, I'm not a big fan of these, you know, civilian committees or this committee or that committee or independent whatever just because it's just – you know what? It sounds good right now because it's probably actually stacked more in our favor than not, but that's only because it's Harper. As soon as the Conservatives are out and you get an anti-gun government in there, our poor American friends are all on pins and needles hoping that the Supreme Court down there stays the same. At least the Conservative judges on the bench. Because if one of them kicks off or retires, Obama's going to put in just a horrible left-wing socialist judge in there, which is going to screw them up. And
well,
it's
apparently what Obama wants to do next is that I think a U.S. president can only be elected for two terms, right? He wants to change that so he can get elected for another term. Not through the history of the United States, any president that I know of been in power more than two terms.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me. But anyways, getting a little political here, but
I was talking to Stacey. She got me all worked up about Obama.
I'm not a big fan of these independent committees because they're answerable to nobody. And, you know, and these committees are just bull. You know, it's they fly by the wind of the political landscape, right? Liberals are in, they'll fill their committees full of liberals. Conservatives are in, you know, they're no better. They do the same thing. They fill it full of conservatives. NDP gets, yeah, who are we kidding? The NDP will never get in, but. although the Ontario voters said that once and voted them in. Anyways. Moving on, away from politics, which is funny because I kind of got on you about making the show too political, and now I'm rambling about politics.
Well, see, the problem is we don't know exactly what's contained in the Common Safety Firearms Act. We've got the headliners. I've been told by both the NFA and the CSSA that there's going to be things in there that aren't announced, but nobody's telling you anything definite. It's all backroom dealing, so there might be more in there than we're think that's coming, or there might be less. But they're just given the points. They haven't given us the actual details of what's happening.
When is Parliament sitting right now? When do they go back in?
I'm not sure.
Into session. It's got to be soon. What are we? We're at the end of February. I don't know. Because I think that should be tabled for the spring, because they tabled it in the fall, right?
It should be coming up before the election.
Yeah. Because I think it was on, second reading or something. So I think it's got one more reading than the Senate, then it's law.
I keep getting phone calls from the Conservative Party of Canada.
Give us more money.
Yeah, basically it.
Justin Trudeau's the devil. Give us more money. We've got to fight the devil.
He is evil.
So, all right, listener email. Actually, let me check my phone. What are we at? I think we're actually doing all right for time. Yeah, 36 minutes. Cool. All right, listener email. This one is, we just got the one this week. And it's from Mike. Greetings, gents. My name is Mike. And I gotta say, first off, I am very pleased to hear you back in the saddle again. That's a song, isn't it? Back in the saddle again. I got my pal, just as your podcast first came out. I started with CRR. Who's that?
Canadian Reload Radio.
I know. I was trying to think of, what's that music band from the 60s that was CR? Creedence Clearwater. Oh, no, that was CR. That was CCR. sorry, Mike.
Stop scrolling and finish Mike's letter.
Started with CRR, and now a big fan of both New Shooter Cannon and Slam Fire.
So he's a long-time listener then.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes back. I live in Guelph, and I just made my first trek into the lush wood of Crown Land in Cambridge looking for rabbit. I didn't get to shoot a single thumper. Easy for me to say. But I'm not giving up. LOL. George, long story short, I would love to hear a new shooter cast about first-time hunters if you feel necessary to dabble in that topic on your show. Actually, Mike, that's a great idea. I've only boat hunt, so that's going to be the extent of my experience. But that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'm going to probably start doing some scouting. So I might do bring some of that to the show in my what I did in guns portion of the show. So, yeah, that's a good idea, Mike. I lost my spots. Oh, squirrel. Hey, I just did that. Squirrel. I work for... Beep. So I know. I don't know if he wants me to say who he works for. I work for a company, so I know London well, and I gotta give a shout out to Goebbels. Yeah, they're pretty good. They, you know what? People, thing about Goebbels, I've never had a problem with them. Very nice guys. Very nice. There's a girl that works there. Wonderful. Actually, the girl helped Wanda out because Wanda didn't know what to get me for Valentine's Day, so they end up settling on a gift card. Wonderful bunch of guys. But with that being said, you always got the haters, right? And because they're, we got kind of two gun shops in town. But, you know, you always get the old fuds that are always grumbling and that. But I'm with you, Mike. I've never had a problem with Goebbels. I've been there a number of times and gotta say, they are great there. I agree. If only they would stock surplus 7.62x54R. Somebody's got a Mosin. I love Mosins. I don't have one. I need to get myself a Mosin. They would be the best. You may have heard some of my emails read on Slamfire. My last name is Karaz, and I usually go by my last name since everyone calls me that anyways, and the Slamfire boys always mispronounce my name. Well, Mike, I'm having no problems pronouncing Mike, so.
I think they're pronouncing it Karaz or something. They're having fun with his last name, adding extra S's.
I always try to write the funniest emails possible. Well, if you ever want to, I didn't edit this, Mike, so between my bad reading and your bad grammar, we're doing well. Well, if you ever want an excuse to go shooting or hunting with a fellow Christian firearms enthusiast, I would be happy to throw some lead around with you. Have a great day. Keep up the good work. Mike. So, absolutely, Mike. I'd love to go shooting with you sometime. Maybe once cowboy season starts up. Probably, I haven't been on the website, but it should start up end of April. Maybe I'll get you down to a shoot, and as for hunting, there is a place, trying to think of, Friends of Hewitt, I think it's called. It's Highway 8, it's actually Hydro Line, which is the first concession north of Highway 8, and it's between Clinton and Seaforth. Check them out. It's a conservation area, but it's a conservation area designed by hunters for hunters, primarily duck and geese, and it's like huge plot of land, and it's kind of cut in half by a stream. One half, zone A, I think it is, or zone B, whatever, whichever one it is, you can hunt anything that's legal. But when you get on the other side where the duck blinds are, you're restricted to small game and fowl. So, Friends of Hewlett,
you know, so like is like the management unit cut in half on that piece of property?
No, it's a conservation area.
Okay.
It's in Wildlife Management Unit. I can't remember now. Hold on a sec. Let me look at my wallet. I might still have my deer license. That tag that I never actually filled. Nope, I don't. Oh, I see yellow. Oh, I do too. Thank goodness for never cleaning out my wallet.
So I'm just wondering if that's a conservation area rule or if there's actually a wildlife management unit cuts right through it.
No, it's a conservation rule.
Because I have a friend of mine that her road is the actual dividing line for two management units. And one side of the road you can hunt Sunday. You can hunt on Sunday, and the other side of the road you can't hunt on Sunday.
Where on here does it say the MMU thing?
Dead space.
Well, Mike, I hate to say this, but I got my deer license here from 2013, and I don't see what wildlife management unit it is. Does it not say on these things?
I don't know if it says the actual tag. I usually just go in. Is it a buck tag? It's just a buck tag. It won't say if it was a doe tag.
It's buck.
Yeah, if it was a doe tag, it'd probably say what unit it was in, but a buck tag's just across the whole province, I think.
That could be. So.
But we'll find out for you, Mike.
You know what? I will. I'll do a quick little Google search, and I'll put the link in the show notes. But you know what? It's great because if you got kids, I don't know how old you are, but if you got kids, this is what I plan on doing this summer. They got tons and tons and tons of trails through there, and there are restrictions for hunting up till September 1st, which is fine because nothing's open before September 1st, anyways. And, but after September 1st, as the seasons start to open, so does the conservation area as far as hunting and stuff. And, that's usually where my dad and I go. And it's great. It's a bit of a drive. Actually, probably about the same drive for you as it would be for us. And it's about an hour and a half drive for us. So.
Is it north of you guys or?
Yeah, north. It's almost straight north. Highway 4 and Highway 8 is where Clinton is, and it's just barely north of there. So that's what I would suggest, Mike, if you're looking for a place. I don't know of any places, any Crown land near Cambridge, so you may have to let me know where that is and hook me up with that. This year my plans are, I have yet to actually kill anything. So, like, I'm hell-bent and determined to shoot something this year. So, if I have to resort to shooting a squirrel, I'm going to have to find a good recipe for squirrel stew.
I'm sure Rustics could find one for you.
So.
Actually, who was it? I think Sue Lathrop actually posted a nice squirrel recipe a couple of months ago.
I don't know anyone that's tried squirrel. It's edible. People eat it, so. The heck, I'll eat it. I'll try anything once.
Well, I'll try it. I don't mind trying it. I'm not going to shoot it and not eat it. I don't believe in that. If I'm going to harvest something, I'm going to eat it at least.
Yeah.
So we actually got an iTunes review too. We got 5 stars from Blue 2013A. Actually, Brian read this one on Modern Rifleman Radio, which I was kind of surprised. I guess he was speaking to Stacy, and she mentioned how writer asked people not to throw Brian under the bus. So I'll just read what he says. So it's great show, great guests, 5 stars. Blue 2013A. He's looking forward to more show, guys. Time to do shows and all the competitive shooting sports and game hunting in Canada. Should have you booked for the year. What I'm really looking forward to is more throwing other podcasters under the bus. Not naming names, but Brian Bolivar could use a trip behind the wheel instead of under it for a change. True. Certain people tend to drive over Brian and then back up and drive over him again and back up, and he doesn't really deserve it. Brian's actually a really decent guy.
Yeah, but I think he likes the attention that he gets.
Well, it depends who it's from. Chaz can be a little...
abrasive?
More like Stillwell and Vaseline. That's Chaz. He's extremely abrasive. He writes something, and you look at it and go, I can't believe he said that. Then he writes something even worse. He says, I can't believe he said that. And he gets even worse. So, but I bet you in real life, him and Brian are probably friends.
Oh, I'm sure it's all just for show.
Well, Charles has said before, it's just his shtick. Is it schlick? Schlick? His shtick. That's what it is.
Shtick, yeah.
It's his shtick. Being nasty like that's his shtick. It was funny. He was getting really nasty a couple days ago. And his mother-in-law got on the thread. He said, now, boys, you know, play nice. And then Ginny picked up, goes, it's not their fault, Mom. Chaz started it. I just peed myself laughing when his mother-in-law and his mother got on the thread. And he behaved himself after that. But no, Brian really is a nice guy, and we try not to intentionally throw him under the bus unless we talk about him inappropriate cleaning of 686. But that's another story. And I'm going to get hate mail from Brian on that one.
All right. While you're reading that, I looked it up, and it's, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's Hewlett, I think. Hullett. I got the link for the website and the Facebook page in the show notes. So anyone that's in southwestern Ontario, this is where my dad and I've been, and it's, like I said, it's a conservation area that was kind of designed by hunters, specifically for hunters, and it's pretty cool.
Sounds awesome.
Friends of Hewlett.
Any shout-outs this week, George?
You know what? Speaking of throwing podcasters under the bus, finally, Toby read my email. Finally.
No.
So I guess I'll give him a shout out for finally 3 weeks of it sitting in their inbox. 3-4 weeks. Oh, something like that. So shout out to the boys. Thank you for reading my email. I'm still not sold on the idea of silver, but you know, to each their own.
I have a shout-out. I actually have a shout-out this week. You ready for this?
Yeah, because I've already read it in the show notes.
I have a shout-out to Heather, the office worker at the CSSA. I guess my rant on the CSSA, you know, how stuff rolls downhill. Well, I complained about my emails not being answered, and I guess it went down the line. All this landed up on poor Heather's lap. So I got an email from Heather saying that she couldn't find the emails that I was talking about. Now, this was 4 years ago, and it would have been a different email account. So I contacted her back, and I thought it was nice that she even contacted me about the emails. And what she basically said, she goes, there have been many changes over the years of the CSSA. And in April, I had been there for 3 years, 2 years as a manager. So I know from when I spoke to her, first year she volunteered there, and the last 2 years she's been the actual paid manager. The changes that were made in staffing were made for reasons, and the one reason was the lack of responses from people that had been receiving from the office. So people's emails weren't getting answered, the phone calls weren't being returned. But now, since she's running it, now if someone calls me and there's no answer, it's because I'm on the phone with somebody else, and I will return their call, answer their email messages, and any phone messages that I get. So she actually, I remembered all the email questions that I had. So I sent her back all the questions I had, and she answered every single question to the best of her ability, because some of these happened about 4 years ago. So Heather, thank you very much. I appreciate you contacting me and answering all my questions. And it's good to hear that there's been positive changes at the SSA head office. So I'm sorry it rolled down and landed on your lap, and I appreciate all your effort. That's my shout out.
I'm going to scroll here.
It rolls downhill, and I guess a lot of people complained it landed on her lap and it wasn't fair. So she took that extra step of contacting me, trying to resolve it, which I really do appreciate it. So I told her that I'd give her a shout out. Not like she listens to the show, but I told her I'd do it because I did appreciate her time.
That's very big of you. Speaking of big, did you go and like increase the font size on the iTunes review?
Yeah, because they're micro.
It's like giant now.
There were like 9. I put them up to 14 because I couldn't read it.
You just scrolled down. I'm like, oh, that's a bit bigger than it was when I copied and pasted it in there.
Well, these glasses, I have to sit about 3 feet away from the monitor to see the screen. If I get any closer, I can't see with my glasses on. That said, I've got my appointment made to get my eyes tested and get my new shooting glasses next week.
Okay.
I should have got bifocals, but I didn't, and I'm paying for it. So, any other shout-outs?
Nope. I got to confirm with Mr. Trevor from Slamfire, but I believe last time I spoke to him, which was one day last week, everything was still a go for Sunday, so probably Sunday night. Yeah, I'll get it out Sunday night.
That sounds good.
Going to do a show with him unless something changes or something comes up. But we're going to, my lower parts kit's been sitting on my kitchen table waiting for me to dig into it. Actually, you know what? I went kind of behind the scenes. I've got punches and screwdrivers and all my firearms books in a box. And I thought they were over at Wanda's. Went over there Saturday, and it's got all my religious books. The box, I'm like, first I couldn't find the box. I'm like, oh, excellent. I found it. It's a Smirnoff box. And I opened it up and had a couple of gun books in it, and I started digging through the box, and it had all my religious books. And I'm like, shoot. Actually, I said something else, but I don't feel like editing. So I'm hoping I can find, I have no idea where that box is, and I'm hoping it's not buried in my storage locker. Otherwise, the lower parts kit installation may be put off a little bit. But we'll get
Well, for punches and stuff, all you have to do is just go to Canadian Tire and just get a couple small dowel rods, like a wooden dowel rods. That way you can punch the pins in and out, and that won't damage your receiver at all.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you just want something that's non-marring.
So maybe that's what I'll do then. So yeah, so kind of a teaser for next episode, which will be 24. We'll have Trevor on, and we're going to go over my lower parts kit. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of questions for him because I know zero, and hopefully he knows lots.
He does. He does.
So that is it for my closing comments.
Sorry we didn't do much of a show tonight. We're just figuring out. We'll just wing it. No show topic, nothing this week. It's a short one. People have to be work early tomorrow, and we've already gone over an hour and 20 minutes. So,
well, we had a little pre-show chit-chat because I think we're just coming. We're just hitting the one-hour mark. hold on a sec. Let me. This was my response to. Where is it? This was my response to Thomas texting me, do you have a main topic? And I said, where is it now? I just had it. Anyways, I said, we're basically going to wing it. It was funnier on the text message, but I can't find the text message. And I don't think people really care to be sitting there going, waiting for me to scroll through messages. Anyways, I'm really tired, and now I'm rambling and babbling, so.
Well, I wanted to do a sight picture, and he said, no, we already did that one. I said, oh, okay. So I have to go back and listen to all the old episodes to see what was included and what was not included.
Yeah, I don't remember what episode it was, but it was before I kind of had my hiatus. So it would have been like the first 10 episodes, sight pictures.
Well, I just wanted to touch on the 6 o'clock hold and the point of impact hold, but we can go through that another time.
Hey, you know what we should do is we should put a shout out to the listeners. What topics do you want covered? How about we do that? And then that way, instead of us trying to guess what the peeps out there want to hear about, why don't you guys give us an email, shoot us an email, Facebook message, and if there's any specific topics. I know Mike had mentioned about doing some hunting shows and some shooting, action shooting shows. And actually, I've had a couple people now say, you go on everyone else's show and talk about SAS, but you haven't on your own show. So that's a good point. And SAS season will be starting up. So I got the Appleseed in March. And so what maybe... Once I get back from that, we'll look at maybe doing a cowboy action show, and maybe we'll get Brian on to do a CQB show and Boys at Action Shooting for maybe an IPSC show. So maybe we'll reach out to those guys. So things to look forward to. And anything else, the new shooters out there, terminology, anything like that, shoot me an email at host@newshootercanada.ca or on Facebook. And yeah.
Basically, anything that the new shooter wants to know, please write the show, and we'll try to answer any questions and include it as a show topic on the next show if you want. But it's basically the new shooters that we want to hear from.
Yeah.
And that's the premise for the show, is the new shooters.
Yeah, like the fluted barrel, for instance. You know, like I remember being new to podcasts and listening, and, you know, circumstance like that, hosts would just go right over it because they know what it is. But I'd be sitting there going, can you please go back and explain what you just said, because it sounded a little Greekish to me. So those are the things I want to hear from the listeners. What if there's something in the show that we've mentioned or we said that you didn't quite know what we were talking about, terminology, whatever, or something that we haven't covered yet, shoot us an email, host@newshootercanada.ca.
And George may take 2 or 3 episodes to answer your question.
No, just yours. Actually, no, I take a year.
Who was that? What was that one? It took 3 shows. The AR and changing the uppers. Was that like a 2 or 3 show answer?
Oh, yeah. We went on like about 3 shows of like little bits and pieces. Okay, this is what we found out about this. Hey, we may be slow at getting the information out, but
we'll get to it eventually.
We'll eventually get it out.
And we got a lot of listeners that would, if we're wrong or we need correction, they let us know right away too.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. I would really suggest keeping an eye on our Facebook, because there's times where things were said on the show, and like the safe episode, we had like 2 different guys. And they were like, they were all over it. They had linked up right to the actual law. One was a court ruling. We got awesome listeners. Great, great listeners. So if we kind of rolled over something in the episode, check Facebook, because somebody may be addressing something on there too. And just search New Shooter Canada on Facebook and we'll pop up.
Okay, so I guess that's about it for tonight.
That's it. Let's stick a fork in it.
Okay, we're done.
All right, until next time, guys, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
And take your kids shooting. Good night, everybody.
I like guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. You tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
I guess I always finish with cheers. Cheers.
Good night.
I'm petting my pussy here, my pussy cat.
I'm not touching that one. I'm not saying another word.
Can you hear him?
No, I can't hear him.
No? I think we'll throw this on the outtakes.